Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome back to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for coming back to the Behind the Arc podcast after a three-month hiatus. For those who do not know, I myself, Joel Silverberg, was given a 90-day furlough from the Sports Animal in Knoxville, which means I cannot have any affiliation with anything related to the radio station. That includes the Behind the Arc podcast, that includes my blog that you can read on 99.1thesportsanimal.com, and that's why I have not been on the airwaves for 3 months up until this past week. But thank you so much for coming back to the Behind the Arc podcast. We were having a lot of fun, I thought, with the podcast, even the month after the NCAA tournament was canceled. A lot of fun stuff to talk about in college basketball, and we're going to try to get right back to that. Filip Petrušev, Gonzaga's big man who is expected to be an All-American this year, is not going to play college basketball. Could that have an effect on Tennessee's Eve Pons? Also, Joe Lunardi is still releasing way too early bracketology. He is high on Tennessee, not just in the scope of the NCAA tournament, but also in the SEC, and he's not the only college basketball analyst who believes that. We'll talk more about that as well. Looking at college basketball as a whole, Gonzaga has been widely speculated to be the number one team in college basketball. They were the number one team in Gary Parrish's top 25 and one, and have been for a long time. And then the early favorite to be the West Coast Conference Player of the Year and a first-team All-American, Filip Petrušev, you figured that he would eventually withdraw his name from the NBA draft, considering that he's not super high on a lot of draft boards, was expected to maybe be a second-round pick at best, but figured he would go through the process, take his name out of the draft, and then come back to college. That's not going to happen. So Petrušev has opted to leave Gonzaga's basketball team and pursue a professional opportunity back in Serbia, which means his college career is over, so the Zags will have to replace the reigning WCC Player of the Year. They do have Drew Timmy, who is expected to be able to step right in and can help anchor the low post, but what this means for Gonzaga overall, it's obviously a hit. Despite that, Gary Parrish still actually believes, from CBS Sports, that Gonzaga is the favorite to win the NCAA basketball tournament in 2021. They are having to replace some other good players. Corey Kispert is expected to come back. Joel Ayayi is expected to come back. Both those guys are in the NBA draft. They're not expected to stay there. Plus, you're talking about four really good recruits coming to the roster, including five-star guard Jalen Suggs, which should really help the backcourt. So Gonzaga still going to be loaded with Coach Mark Few over there, and it should be a lot of fun to see what happens out west with Gonzaga, again, trying to win its first national championship. You've seen them make deep runs in the tournament before, saw them make a Final Four a couple years ago, trying to get over the hill and finally win that first national championship. It's going to be tougher without Petrušev being there, but Petrušev ultimately cited that didn't see a lot of stability and a lot of certainty in the upcoming college basketball season. Figured he would go play pro ball over in Serbia, where if they're trying to follow the NBA's model, you could see a situation where in other countries they are playing professional basketball without fans in attendance, but at least the players would be getting to play. And right now there's no clear certainty that that's going to happen in college basketball this season. So the question is, does that affect other international players, such as Tennessee's Eve Pons? Could Eve decide that he wants to go back home to France and play basketball there and opt to forego his final year of college eligibility, play pro basketball in France if he decides to take his name out of the NBA draft, and see if he can play back in his home country, have an opportunity to improve his game, and maybe increase his NBA draft stock. Now, right before our hiatus here on the Behind the Arc podcast, I talked to Rob Doster, who had Eve as an early second-round selection in his mock draft back in the spring. Now, Rob kind of indicated that he doesn't analyze his own mock draft the same way that other draft analysts do. He thinks it's fairly likely that Pons would go undrafted or be a late second-round pick, but also says it only takes one team to fall in love with him. And Doster has been very high on Pons for a long time, really throughout the course of last season. Loves Pons defensively, called him a legitimate weapon the first time he joined the Behind the Arc podcast, and also indicated that as long as his offensive game continues to improve, he's going to be a very, very desirable pick for a lot of NBA teams. Now, whether that means for this year or for next, Doster does think it's likely that Pons would decide to come back to Tennessee. But if there's uncertainty in the college basketball season, does that mean Pons could go back to France and choose to play there? And Fran Fraschilla of ESPN joined the Sports Animal last month and said, quote, "I think if he doesn't go back to Tennessee, he's going to be playing in France next year. I think he ought to stay at Tennessee. I don't hear any buzz. He could be a late second round pick." I also think that it's more likely that Pons actually comes back to Tennessee instead of going to France. And I think his choice to go into the NBA draft process was similar to what we saw with Admiral Schofield. Take advantage of the fact that you can go through the process, come back to college, and unless a team guarantees you, hey, we're taking you with our first round pick or whatever goal or expectation that player had to be drafted, they're just going to come back to college. I think that's what Pons is doing here, trying to learn, asking the questions of what do I have to do to succeed at the next level. Ultimately, I think that's what Pons is trying to do. You saw Schofield do that, got a lot better over the course of his senior year and made several appearances for the Washington Wizards during his rookie season in the NBA, and now we're seeing Pons try to develop his game, and I think you'll continue to see that from the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year. The reason that I think it's a little bit more likely for somebody like Pons to go back to college as opposed to somebody like Philip Petrušev from Gonzaga is the development that Pons has had under Rick Barnes. There, you go from being a role player where you're not really being seen a whole lot. You're getting some starts in the backcourt, but ultimately you're still trying to find a stride in your offensive game. Defensively, I think people know what you're capable of, but you haven't had the minutes on court to really see your game progress. And under Rick Barnes, Eve Pons has progressed immensely, going from being a non-starter to the SEC Defensive Player of the Year in a season that the SEC was fairly competitive towards the top. And Pons ends up tying the school record for blocks in a single season at Tennessee, which he, let's be honest, he likely would have broken it had Tennessee been able to play the SEC tournament. Even if they lose to Alabama in that SEC tournament opener, Pons had at least one block in every game this past season. Chances are he gets at least one more to break the all-time school record for blocks in a season. And so Pons, having this development under Rick Barnes, would likely allow Pons to see the commodity that is his head basketball coach in college and want to spend another year developing in that program. And I think when you see the athleticism that Pons clearly has, he really is just a very unique specimen athletically with what he's able to do, considering his height, roughly 6'6", and is able to just fly across the court. He's fast. He's got an incredible vertical for somebody of his height, can play 1-5 defensively, and you're looking at a player with so much defensive versatility that as he continues to develop an offensive game, really trying to work on that mid-range game, I've noticed a little bit more, it can really help him with the mid-range to developing an outside shot. That's going to show a lot of really good comparisons to current NBA players that have that versatility that can find themselves being a solid role player for years to come in the National Basketball Association. So if Pons decides to come back, he can expect to have more progression under Rick Barnes. And I think Pons knows that. So it's ultimately his decision. Obviously, I think with some international players, language barrier can be a problem. Not wanting to play basketball for free can be a problem if a player believes that they can go overseas or go straight into the G League or go into the NBA draft early and decide that they're ready and that they can play at a high enough level that they can make money playing basketball instead of having to go back to college. But Pons, I think, can see the benefit of playing for a coach like Rick Barnes and seeing players like Admiral Schofield, like Kyle Alexander, like Grant Williams, and how much development there has been within the Tennessee basketball program. Because it's easy to look at programs like Duke and Kentucky and see top players that are one and dones or two and dones and have a couple of big seasons and go on to the next level and be high draft picks. And Pons just isn't quite there yet when you're looking at all the feedback from what you're seeing around NBA draft analysts. You're seeing maybe a second round pick, likely to go undrafted. Yes, it only takes one team to fall in love with you, but has a team fallen in love with Yves Pons? And plus, the draft process is much different this offseason. Pons has not had the benefit of going through the typical run-of-the-mill experience that some of his teammates did the year before, and the year before that with Admiral Schofield going through it really the last 2 years. But Pons can see that getting to play for Rick Barnes, knowing that you're going to get a significant amount of playing time, a significant amount of minutes where you can show off your offensive game even more, having the facility at Pratt Pavilion to continue to work on your shot and work on your outside offense and see how can you expand on already being a great defender, how much more versatile can you make your game overall. I think it's more likely that Pons decides to come back to Tennessee, but with the news about Petrušev, I thought it was interesting and a question worth asking for Tennessee's reigning conference defensive player of the year about what decision he can make during the course of this offseason. I'll take a quick break, and when we wrap up the show, again, getting into bracketology, Joe Lunardi, he's still doing brackets, even though we're in the middle of July. Where does he have Tennessee, and where does Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, where does he see Tennessee in the scope of the SEC and college basketball, despite some roster movement around the country with guys like Petrušev opting, hey, I'm not playing college basketball this year. We'll continue more on the Behind the Arc podcast. I really appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, I hated that we had to go through a three-month break, but I really appreciate those of you who loyally checked out the podcast throughout the first 4 months that I was putting it together. I appreciate those of you that have followed it, and I really appreciate those of you that have come back to it. We may not be playing college basketball right now, but still a lot to talk about in the college basketball landscape, and we get right back into that with Tennessee and some bracketology. Joe Lunardi of ESPN has been updating bracketology throughout the summer, and last week he has put Tennessee at a 4 seed in the East region, ironically enough playing against Georgia State, which I'm sure a lot of Tennessee fans have become very familiar with that school in the past calendar year. But Lunardi has 7 SEC teams in his latest bracketology, again, way too early before the season gets started, but still putting brackets together, has Tennessee as a 4 seed and has Tennessee in all caps, which means that is the team that is winning its league's auto bid, as he has Tennessee as a 4 seed and has Kentucky as a 4 seed. But according to Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology just last week, he has Tennessee getting in as a 4 seed while winning the SEC tournament for the first time in decades. And 7 SEC teams safely in the tournament, none of them on the bubble. And looking around, Tennessee is the highest seeded SEC team as a 4 seed, tied with Kentucky. The other SEC teams include Florida as a 6 seed, Alabama, Arkansas, and LSU all as 8 seeds, and Ole Miss as a 10 seed. So the Volunteers getting a lot of early talk about how high the expectations are going to be for this basketball team next year. And when you consider who is coming back and who is expected to come back, you have John Fulkerson that really turned it on the last 10 games or so of the regular season. Yves Pons, of course, we spent the first segment talking about him and how solid defensively he is. And then the number 4 recruiting class in college basketball for the class of 2020. Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, you add Corey Walker into the mix. You have EJ Anasicki that's going to provide a lot of depth off the bench, especially in the front court, which can really help Tennessee so much because depth really seemed like it was an issue there. Juroš Plavšić coming back, not a great debut season for him. Again, just unfortunate of how his eligibility played out with not getting, eligibility immediately and then having to wait through half the season, then finally getting it into the SEC portion of the calendar. You look at the rest of the backcourt. Josiah Jordan-James should be healthy after playing through injuries through most of last season, take the offseason to get healthy, should be set to go this season, expect him to develop as well. And then you consider Santiago Vescovi coming in for the SEC schedule, obviously has a lot of refining to his game to happen. But with all the depth that Tennessee has in the backcourt, not to mention Victor Bailey Jr., how good of an outside shooter he was at Oregon. He sat out for a year. He's gone through a year of that Tennessee program. Tennessee really does look like it could be a loaded team this season. And Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, who continues to put out a top 25 and one, again, updated it really just yesterday after the announcement of Petrušev opting not to return to Gonzaga. This is what Parrish had to say about Tennessee. He has them at number 11 in his top 25 and one. Parrish says, quote, Yves Pons has declared for the NBA draft, but assuming he returns, Tennessee will be adding five-star guards Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson to an experienced core that also features John Fulkerson, Santiago Vescovi, and Josiah Jordan-James. That's a strong roster that should result in a bounce-back season for the Vols, who look like the favorite in the SEC thanks to a combination of what they're enrolling and what Kentucky is losing. He has Kentucky at number 14 in this week's top 25 and one. So both Joe Lunardi and Gary Parrish believe that Tennessee is the team to beat in the SEC. And I do think Pons is going to come back to Tennessee. It should be interesting to see how the rest of this plays out. But right now, with the recruiting class that Tennessee has coming in and seeing the way that Rick Barnes has developed 3- and 4-star guys, well, what's he going to do with some of the 5-star guys? And I know that Josiah Jordan-James kind of got off to a slow start in his first season, and not seeing him really take the opportunity to control the offense and take it over as much. You saw that from Vescovi early on in his freshman season when he started against LSU and just kind of let the three-pointers fly. But James being healthy and having another year in the system, seeing the game slow down for him a little bit at the college level, I would expect to see a lot of improvement out of Tennessee's backcourt. Having John Fulkerson back for another year is huge for Tennessee. You've got the returning talent. And Rick Barnes is kind of starting to turn Tennessee into that program where he can recruit at a high level. He can be in on 4- and 5-star recruits consistently year out. And it's not a matter of just having to develop all these 3-star guys where, okay, every 2 or 3 years we're going to be able to put together a really solid basketball season and maybe we'll surprise somebody 1 year. That's not really it anymore. It's kind of like, okay, Tennessee might have a down season, but they're recruiting at a high enough level where they can reload quickly. And that's what's happening. Last year, Tennessee was talking about having the first Final Four appearance in school history. The following season, it's a bit of a rebound year where, okay, maybe Tennessee doesn't make the NCAA tournament. And that's what was going to happen unless Tennessee had gone on some sort of Cinderella run in Nashville and taken out Alabama, Kentucky, and then gone on to win the SEC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. That wasn't going to happen. And now here we are in 2020 looking at Tennessee as being a top 15 team and an early favorite, one of the early favorites to win the SEC tournament. So Rick Barnes is able to make those quick turnarounds quickly. That's big news for Tennessee and really big on the recruiting trail, because if you've got guys like Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson opting to go to Tennessee, well, other top prospects are going to take note of that. And it's really going to put Tennessee in a good position in the long term to be able to continue to compete at a high level. And it's going to continue to make that Tennessee-Kentucky rivalry more and more interesting throughout years to come. But you're seeing the monster, you know, contract that Rick Barnes had a couple years ago with when the UCLA job came into question. And now here we see Rick Barnes on the recruiting trail starting to kind of earn that paycheck. Obviously, on-court results, fans want to see that. They don't want to settle for Sweet 16 appearances anymore. They want to see players develop. They want to see 5-star recruits come in and make an immediate impact, start scoring a lot of points. They want to see good facilitators start to, you know, lead the offense and start to make plays. And they want to see guys like Yves Pons continue to anchor a defense and see Tennessee start to beat down on the lesser teams in the SEC instead of having to scrap and claw their way to an 8 seed in the SEC tournament and look more like a team that could be ranked 8th in the country by the time the year is over. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. That's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Joel Silverberg. You can subscribe and rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow at Sports Radio WNML on Twitter to follow everything else that the radio station is doing. And of course, the podcast is also available on 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Thank you so much for tuning in after 3 months off. We'll continue to keep you posted on everything that we're hearing right here at the Sports Animal. And thank you again. It means so much that you came back and checked out the podcast after so much time off. It was not my decision, obviously, and then I was not permitted to be able to record the podcast, but it has been a lot of fun doing this, and we're going to continue to have a lot of fun talking college basketball throughout the course of the summer, and hopefully we'll hit the ground running when college basketball comes back around this upcoming year. Thank you again for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast right here on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.